We continue our reading of the book of Hebrews. Today we come to Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 to 10. Now, it's important to remember the purpose of this book. The writer is communicating with Jewish Christians, probably living in Palestine, who are suffering very intense persecution from the Jewish synagogue community they had left in order to follow Jesus Christ. And what he's done so far in the book, you remember, he's been showing that Christ is better. Better in the sense that he's the true fulfillment. But what the Old Testament was always about was Christ, and he is higher. He is better. He's better than the angels. That was at the beginning. He's better than Moses. He's better than Joshua. And now he turns to Levi, namely the Levitical priests of the Old Testament, and he's going to show that Christ holds a better and higher priesthood. Now, this is one of the great chapters of the Bible, and you may not think so when I read the beginning of it, because it's got these technical arguments. But here we have the most concentrated and deepest teaching about Jesus as our high priest. And the first portion that I'm going to study today is based upon a typology between Melchizedek in Genesis 14 and Jesus Christ as our king and priest. Now, if you read the book of Genesis in chapter 14, some kings from the east, they capture Lot, who's Abraham's nephew. Abraham is the kinsman redeemer. We'll talk about that in the sermon. And so in one of the really great light cavalry operations of the ancient world, he tracks them down and he destroys them. He brings Lot back. And when he comes back in an interesting fashion, he comes before this man, Melchizedek, who we've never met before, who his name means king of righteousness, and he is king of Salem, that is peace. And he is a king priest of the Most High God. And you're going, this seems very strange. Well, it's before Abraham. And so it's at the very end of that whole period between the flood and the beginning of the Mosaic covenant. We don't know all that much about it. Around the city Jerusalem, where it would later be, this man was a king and a priest of the Most High God. Now, what he is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ in several respects. One is that in him, the office of king and that of priest are joined together. In Old Testament Israel, that was forbidden. One man could not be both king and priest, but Jesus is the king and priest. But the particular thing the writer of Hebrews is going to hone in here is that the Genesis 14 presentation of Melchizedek does not have a genealogy. And look at verse 3. He is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. Now, for this reason, some people have argued that he is the pre-incarnate Christ, but I think we can be sure that's not true. He is a type of Christ. He's a placeholder in the Old Testament for what Christ would come and do. And you have all kinds of types. David is a type of Christ as king. You have rituals that are types of Christ. They're descriptions in the Old Testament setting of the person and work of the Lord Jesus. Now, the thing about Melchizedek, it's not that he didn't have a father or mother. We presume he did. But that the narrative presentation of him in Genesis 14 does not provide it. And by the way, this is a literary device we know was common to the time when Hebrews was written. And so he says, look at Melchizedek. He shows up in Genesis 14. We don't know anything about him. And so far as the record of the text has, he's without father or mother. He has neither beginning of end. And he says, in this respect, he's a picture of how Christ is better because his is an eternal priesthood. His origins are eternal in backwards. They are eternal forward. And I'll just go ahead and get to the end of the chapter. One of my favorite verses, Hebrews 7:25. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost everyone who draws near to God through him, because he ever lives to intercede for him. Why would you go back to the Levitical priests when you have an eternal priest whose ministry will never end? Now, he's going to work this out throughout the chapter 7, which I actually think is one of the great chapters of the Bible. But in our text, he's going to make a couple of points. Namely, that when Abraham came back from rescuing Lot, he had all these spoils that he'd taken. He tithed them to Melchizedek. And Melchizedek blessed him. And the writer of Hebrews is going to argue in kind of the Hebraic logic of the time, the legal logic of the time, that this proves that the Melchizedek priesthood, the priesthood of Christ, typified by Melchizedek, is a superior priesthood to the Levitical priesthood of the Old Testament. And he's going to argue, the one who blesses is the superior. The one to whom you tithe is your superior. And he makes the argument that Levi himself, verse 9, paid tithes through Abraham, his ancestor, for he was in the loins of his ancestor when Melchizedek met him. Well, the net effect of this is just another way of saying, my friends, if you have Jesus Christ, you have it all. In this case, you have a priest who makes an effectual sacrifice for you. The Old Testament priests were merely to lead us to Christ by means of the law. And his is a priesthood that will never end. When you, Christian, pray to God the Father for forgiveness, for sympathy, for help, you have a living priest interceding for you. He ever lives above, and there on his hands are the marks of the atonement he suffered for you. You need no other priest than him. Well, let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word. I'm actually going to back up a verse, and then we'll read verses 1 to 10 of Hebrews 7. Chapter 6, verse 20. Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And to Abraham, and to him, Abraham apportioned a tenth part of everything. He is first by translation of his name, King of Righteousness, and then he is also King of Salem, that is, King of Peace. He is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever. See how great this man was, to whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of the spoils. And those descendants of Levi who received the priestly office have a commandment in the law to take tithes from the people, that is, from their brothers, though these are also descended from Abraham. But this man, who does not have his descent from them, received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. It is beyond dispute that the inferior is blessed by the superior. In the case of tithes, in this case, in the one case, tithes are received by mortal man, but in the other case, by one of whom it is testified that he lives. One might even say that Levi himself, who received tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, for he was still in the loins of his ancestor when Melchizedek met him. The grass withers and the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever. Amen.